Hey, babe, welcome to another podcast, Rethink Podcast. Yep. Cole's right here, and we have a special guest with us today.
Yep, we do.
And would you please introduce yourselves to us? Because we're going to have a conversation here. It's going to be really, really cool. One of the things that we've been doing for the last half an hour that we didn't even plan on is having a conversation. And everybody has a conversation, everybody has a story. And so just in a nutshell, tell us who you are, tell us what you do, and as much as your story as you want to tell us. Ladies first.
Oh, man. Okay. my name is Falami Jones. I'm Herald Staff 2. I'm the Lafayette Preschool Director. And, man, I've been at Flatirons for almost 17 years.
Originally from Louisville, Kentucky.
Originally from Louisville, Kentucky.
Because we're about grace.
But I've grown up here in the Boulder County area in Louisville, and I now live in Thornton. So I have three kids, single mom of three, like teenager-ish people. my kids are 17, 12, and 10. That's really me. I go to work and I fold laundry. That's what I do in my time.
All right.
Got a lot else going on right now.
Glenn, 30 seconds. Who are you? How'd you get here?
Glenn Herber from Metairie, Kenner, Louisiana. Go Tigers.
This is an SEC school. Right? Yeah, it's not Villanova.
Live in Thornton with my lovely wife, Kelly, my 8-year-old Tyler, and my 3-year-old son, Jackson, who's special needs, autistic, and a few other conditions. On staff here in the elementary kids ministry and love every minute of it. And shoot, I'm laid back dude.
Yeah. One of the things I love is that a lot of times when you work with kids, no offense, is like you go, well, that's for the ladies or something. Like I grew up all the Sunday school teachers, right? Yeah. And then we put out this call to men. We need strong men in our kids' ministry because there aren't a lot of great role models. And so I'm sure you're a great role model as well. Okay. But it's like we all know that there's a vast shortage of strong, good men in the world. But that's why I love that you work with our kids.
Yeah.
Hey. So you kind of put this together, so...
Yeah, and it wasn't my idea. It was Corey's idea, which was great.
Why would you say that publicly?
It was my idea, yeah.
Way to go,
Corey. Don't listen to this. But we shot a podcast last week before all of the George Floyd stuff happened, talking about the Ahmaud Arbery, like, murder case, everything going on with it.
Right.
And honestly...
Not knowing that the world was about to explode.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we filmed it and, like, literally jumped on Twitter probably 4 hours later, and it's like, oh, this is going on now. And then it was, like, the next day and the next day just, like, got bigger and bigger. Mm. And so that podcast was supposed to come out today, and we talked, and we were like, hey, might not be the wisest decision in the midst of all of this to have two white guys sitting at a table talking through this. Although that's what we want. We want people talking about it and what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And so then we were looking across staff and looking at like, the discrepancies in like what does race look like on our staff, and you guys are two African-American people on staff, so we wanted to pull you guys in and get your guys' perspective on things instead of us saying what we think and us saying what we've walked through, because it might be comparable. It probably isn't though, and so we wanted to like bring that out, have that conversation, and see what that all looked like, so that we can not only dialogue ourselves and get better as a church and as a staff and as the people who come to our campuses, but also to demonstrate, like, what does this look like outside in the real world when you need to sit down and have those types of conversations?
Yeah. I put out a video this past Friday.
Yeah.
Friday, just a 4-minute thing, just calling the church to do better. And so anytime you take a stand of any kind, you get shot from both sides, right? Right. And so let me just throw the first thing out there and just get your perspective on it. Because here's a question that came in on social media question, and that would be is everything that happens interracially, so white on black, black on white, right? And we're going to stay with those races because I'm sure it's all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And they were building the argument, just because it's interracial isn't necessarily racism, all right? So it's a white cop who murdered George Floyd. Was that because of race or just because of stupidity and
bad policemen,
right? But the aftermath certainly is releasing a lot of pent-up tensions that are race, like race-based, all right? So how do I address that? Or what's your all's perspective on, because I've had several emails from African-Americans who go to Flatirons going, sometimes I even feel racism coming to church, and I'm like, I'm blind to that. Mm-hmm. Like, so what is that? What is all that? What does it feel like? Is it real? Is it, I mean, it is real, but a lot of us are blind to it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Ladies first.
I'm always the first. Stop saying that. I know. Yeah. You know, I've obviously been on social media all week. I haven't said a lot. I feel like it's really easy to jump on and, you know, start talking out of my emotions. And so I didn't want to necessarily do that or spend my whole weekend responding to a bunch of posts. But, you know, I think, you know, like anything else, everything's very multi-layered. And so just like you said, like, do I know if someone woke up in the morning and said, I'm going out to kill a black person? No, I don't know that about, you know, this person or anybody. But that we have this, you know, pattern of things that happen. And so it's remiss to say, you know, let's look at this one circumstance and then dismiss all the things that have happened before. And I think that, like you said, like, that's what happens. You have this instance come up and it brings up everything that's happened. Yeah. It happened in the past, and you can't really disconnect those two things. And I think, you know, with anything, you know, you always have to go back and say, you know, what's that person and look at this, you know, situation. But you can't ever just say, well, it's just this, it's just this, it's just this, and then not look at a pattern that's been created over years and years and years and years. And so, you know, I guess I can see like what someone means by that statement. But like you said, also, like, you know, if you're not in my shoes, if you're not in my, you know, my head and in this, from my perspective, I don't know if you're ever going to fully understand like what that feels like to look and see that happen. Yeah. So I don't
know. Which is
why
I didn't answer him. I'm like, I am way out of my depth here. Right.
Yeah.
So you just said something I'm going to ask you. When you see this stuff like this on TV, and now it's even downtown right here in Denver, right? What does that bring up in you? What are the feelings? Is it
sad, scared? I'm usually a confident guy, you know, feel like I'm cool with everybody. My grandmother taught me that there's ignorance on every level.
Yeah.
You know, so don't just automatically assume someone is ignorant. Let them show you that they're ignorant. And so for me, you know, I just talked to my grandmother Friday.
And she's out 94.
94. In all my years of us being together, she has never, ever said, I'm worried about you. If I don't talk to her for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, hey, baby, I hadn't heard from you. Friday was the first time that she said, I'm worried about you.
What's different? What do you think she senses different?
Because she sees that, you know, before they would say,
She's lived some tough times.
Right. Born 1926.
Yeah.
So she went through all that. Before they would say that they were beating up or harassing guys because they had braids, they would use that because their pants sagging. Those are thugs. Because they dress a certain way, they talk a certain way. I'm from Louisiana, from New Orleans. I get comfortable with you, that's coming out. So then people going to say, I talk a certain way. So now she's seeing that it's not just about the way we dress. It's not just about how we talk. It's not just about braids and where you come from. You black.
End of story.
End of story. She's seeing this. Again, and this is what I want everyone to realize, that she's 94 years old. She's seen all of it. Never been worried about her 44-year-old son till Friday, this past Friday. Never, ever. And I've seen a lot and been through a lot, but she's always said, I know you're going to take care of yourself. I know you're going to be careful. Now she's like, continue to be careful, baby. And I can hear in her voice, she doesn't want to say it. She doesn't want to say, I'm worried about you. But she said it. That's been on my mind all since then. Like, G-Ma scared? Shh. I was already nervous. Pulled up to a stop sign and a cop car pulled up. And then my heart, but that's not me. I'm not the type to be like seeing this bad already in somebody. But it's like, is the price on your head next? And that's what a lot of Black people are feeling, especially those of us out here. There's not a lot of diversity in Colorado in general. Mm-hmm. But now you talk about Lafayette, Boulder, Louisville, Thornton, Weld County, all of that, Erie. You know, when you're not seeing, you know, a lot of someone, you know, Flatirons has the Me Too.
Right.
You know, and we can Me Too as Christians all day, every day. But for somebody like Falami and myself, we can't Me Too with other people because we don't see other people like us, you know? And it's scary. Like, I'm walking around my neighborhood with my 3-year-old pushing in a stroller, and normally I'm like waving and, you know, just greet. But now I'm just like, and I feel it. I'm like, that's not me.
And that's recent.
That's recent.
That's recent in the last week. Do you sense something's changed?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when, you know, we're all in this quarantine life, so we take a lot of walks and we're doing a lot of things. So, you know, me and my sister, we're not walking. And, you know, either it's people are not talking or we're going way out of our way to, you know, way out of our way, you know, to talk. And, you know, or I get, you know, I've gotten a lot of messages from people, you know, and not, and I know what people mean, like, well, but what really means is, you're the only Black person I know, so let me ask you a question, you know, and I'm not angry about that. I know what the intent is behind that, but if we haven't had like some really close relationship, it's just like, you know, I'm like, I don't know what to say to you right now. Like, I don't have an answer for the question that you're asking me, you know, or, you know, so it's just, you know, like Lynn said, it's like you're in this place. And I've lived here for a long time and so it is very, I feel very like, I don't know, caught in the middle is the wrong word, but it's just, it's very strange, you know, to, you know, have all these feelings, you know, you're like, you know, rising up and you're like, I don't really know what to do with that. Who am I going to talk to right now? You know, I have my immediate families here, but, you know, on a regular day, I'm not going to see another Black person. The only other Black people I'm going to see are my family. And so, you know, and I think, you know, just about last week at work, I love people at work. I have a good staff and things like that. But when I heard this story break, it was Tuesday morning right before I needed to come to the office. Like, I think I saw it 5 minutes before I needed to walk out of the door and get here. And so I don't have all these like thoughts going. I don't know if anybody else even knows like this has already happened, but I got to go to this meeting about, you know, a 4-hour meeting. And, you know, so there's just all of those things that make it hard to just do your day to day. Like, you know, it's like, do I keep going to work and having this meeting, or do I need to send these emails, or do I just sit here today and be mad and sad and, you know, scared for my son and, you know, all those kinds of things. You know, and I am a slow processor. I'm not a fast, you know, so I feel like it's been a week, you know, and I'm still like, you know, I don't know, you know, what I think about a lot of.
Yeah. What's helpful in the midst of, so it's like, Glenn, right off the bat, you're like, I'm sad and I'm scared. You're able to name that right off the bat.
Right.
What's helpful? I mean, everybody's posting on social media right now. And the post that makes me the most mad is the post that goes out. And it's like, hey, to all my Black friends, blah, 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 blah. It's like, if you had those friends, you would have texted them or called them by now. Like, you're just doing it to be virtue signaling or whatever. So in the midst of this, what's
the
actually...
The last thing I want this to be some photo op, like we care.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would make me not want to do something, you know, I want to have the conversation.
Go ahead. I want to have the conversation. And so it's like, what's actually helpful in the midst of like you processing emotions, this like protest that then at night turned into riots? Like, what's actually helpful for people to come alongside you instead of the random person that texts you and is like, hey, just want to check in on you? And it's like, hey, you've never checked in on me before. What's actually helpful right now?
I mean, you got so much of that where folks now all of a sudden like, hey, you know, how you doing? And our mindset is spot on what you said. You didn't care about me then, so why are you reaching out now?
Yeah.
You didn't care when Ahmaud got killed. You didn't care, shoot, fast forward when Sterling, you know, got killed and you wasn't like, hey, how you doing? And I have a huge problem, you know, and it's going to come out right now because I'm going to share the podcast with my friend, but I have a huge problem with a lot of my white friends for not reaching out to me at some point. Several have, but just like, yo, how you doing? Because I guarantee you, when stuff was going down in New Orleans, where there was a storm, hurricane, since we've been out here, hey, how you doing? How your family? Y'all good? You know? So don't call me brother like we family, because family check up on each other. Might not be every day. Might be a few weeks. We all go through storms, so might be a few weeks, but don't call me as my brother and stuff. And, you know, like my brother said, my younger brother, you know, it's all fine and dandy when you want to do the dances, when you want to listen to the music and talk about the culture and stuff. But then when something like this come up, it's like, I forgot. You good? Okay, but like I say, it's been very little of that. And that bothers me, because there's a lot of people who I've known for many, many years who I've called brother, cousin, ass, my family and stuff. But it's like your silence is saying, like, you expect me to be all right and get over it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They can't expect us to be all right and just get over it. And we don't say much because we don't feel like we have people on our side.
Or who care.
Or who cares. So how can you speak up and say, this is what I'm feeling, for fear that you're going to be labeled the angry black woman, the angry black man? All they doing is complaining. Here we go. Here we go. You don't talk about the black-on-black violence. That's a different scope. When you have someone of another race purposely taking your life, beating on you to a pulp, you know? And I think with George, with his home, is his mom has passed away, and he's screaming for calling for his mom. And then my grandmother just talked about, I'm worried about it, like, she's in New Orleans. You know, like, man, God forbid the day Kelly would ever have to make that call. Mm. You know, so it's tough.
Yeah, we talked about this last podcast, because last podcast was like the anniversary of me going on sabbatical. And I was just sitting there going, nobody cares. Right. And then Cole reached out to me, and then Jesse reached out to me. And then later in the day, Paul reached out to me, and a couple of people reached out to me just to go, hey, this is a tough day. I'm just thinking about you.
Right.
You can't fix it.
Yep.
I don't have a solution, but you're not alone in it.
Right.
And that's what helps, right?
Exactly.
So the flip side of that would be this. Glenn, so if I haven't been a good brother, if I haven't been a good friend, okay, and it took something like this to go, because silence is part of the problem, okay?
Big problem.
Now, wading into it, I feel like, do I have the right to come up to you? Do I have the right to go, hey, can I check on you? I haven't checked on you the last 10 years, okay? I haven't checked on you, you know, as not just because of your race, but as a friend, as a sister in Christ, as a single mom or whatever that is. That's a whole other level of stuff you're carrying, and I haven't showed up. And then something happens. I go, do I have the right? Now, I can give you all the theological answers, all right? But relationally, okay, do I have the right to go? Because you've been getting bombarded because you're the only black friend of somebody, okay? So now, I don't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to know, even if I go, I should have done this last year and the year before and the year before and the year before, but I didn't. And now I want to wade in. Am I allowed to?
I mean, in my perspective, I say yes. I'm not, when that's happening, I'm not angry that someone's trying to reach out to me. I you know, like I said, I understand the intent behind it. What I'm hoping though, or want people to understand, is that my response probably isn't going to be like, oh my gosh, great, thanks. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm, you know, I might send you back a, you know, thanks, or, you know, I need some time to think or something. So, you know, just like anything, like, you know, if it's a hard time and you reach out, it just might not be the right minute for me to, you know, want to engage with you in that way.
That's fair.
Or, you know, it might take some time. You know, like I said, if we weren't really close friends, I don't know if we're going to become close friends right now in the middle of all of this. And maybe we won't ever become close friends, because that just wasn't in the cards for, you know, for our relationship, you know, it really in general. So I'm not harboring any resentment necessarily toward people reaching out to me. I think I know the intent behind it. And especially, you know, here with, you know, most of my friends are, you know, are believers. So I do think that that's important. You know, it's just not, I don't separate what's happening in the world to from my relationship with Jesus or anyone else's. If it's, he's calling us to be friends and to be there, then that's what we need to do. I'm not going to say don't do it. You know, just, there's just not going to be this overly joyful response, I don't think, probably from me at this minute. So,
that's fair.
Yeah. But,
and if it's actually like an authentic reaching out, that shouldn't offend somebody.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and I think that you know, like, what can I do? You know, and I, like I said, I'm a slow processor. I'm like, I don't know if I have the answer for what can you do, you know, today.
Well, I'm going to ask that though.
You know, like, you know, personally speaking, you know, and like I said, I think that when, you know, when I think about, like I said, like I grew up, I've been here a long time. I've grown up here. So what I think is hard for me is that pushing through what happens to, for me and my daily experience or for my kids, and being able to share that when the world's not falling apart on a weekly basis or a daily basis, creates a different space when something like this happens. So when something like this happens and people say, well, that's not really happening to you last week, or that didn't really happen, or that's not a big deal, you know, for all these weeks leading up to it, then you get this whole big situation happening. And then I am really angry. You know, you can't tell my daughter, you know, that's not how it is for you. Like, you know, that's, you're overreacting, you know? And so then she's really angry. And I'm like, yeah, you know, because she does go to school, you know, with her friends, and she does go to the same places, but every day is not exactly the same for her as it is for her friends. And so when friends and people say to her that she's overreacting or that thing shouldn't be important to you, what she hears is, you know, my, what's going on with me is not important, you know, or
you're,
it's
not
existence. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, so she goes down to the protest this weekend and people are like, oh, she shouldn't be down there. And I was like, you know, it's scary for me to, you know, to know my teenager was down there, but I know why she did it. She, you know, for a week she was saying how she felt, and basically what she was getting back was that you're overreacting. And so she wanted to be around people that didn't feel like she was overreacting. You know, she wanted to be around people who were angry like she was, and sad like she was, and scared like she was. And she wasn't getting that. Really from anyone, really any understanding or anybody trying to understand how she felt, you know, prior in the week.
So that made me think of a question, okay? Because I haven't been down to the protest. I've protested other things in the past, like that. Okay, what, and you can't speak for your daughter, but so you make a guess for a mindset, right? What are the protesters, what's the goal? What is the end result they're hoping to achieve by that? And I know someone's going south and it's just anger, all right? But we don't want any violence with violence, but what is it going? I want to go back in there so I can be with some people who understand. Who do they want to listen, and what's the response? Is there a response they hope to achieve?
Yeah.
I'm asking that. It's not a loaded question.
Right.
It's like, let's go down there and do this so that maybe something will happen. What is that? And I know there's, I mean, there's a-holes in all arenas, right? That's not limited to anything, okay? Who are just going to use it as a chance to fight, you know? So what do you think is in the back of the true person who's down there going, I need to say something or express something so that something happens? Any thoughts on that?
No, you go.
No, I know. I, you know, like I said, like I've spent a lot of time watching, you know, things. I, you know, maybe I don't, you know, I, you know, for myself personally, I feel like, you know, you want to have your voice, you know, be heard, you know, let people know that you're feeling angry. You know, I hope that, you know, it mobilizes into not to just be seen and be heard, but into, you know, having some reform with laws and, you know, and voting and all those things. I think, you know, for a teenager, my daughter, like I said, she wants to just be able to say out loud, hey, this is how I feel, you know, and
be heard.
And be heard. Yep. And for her to be surrounded by those people, it's loud. It's not like I have to be at school and say, you know, I'm feeling really bad today. This thing happened and it feel like it's pushed down, or it has to be really quiet, or it has to be said in a certain way for people to understand. So it's just, I want to, you know, when I imagining her, it's, you know, to get the emotion of what she's feeling, you know, out. And so to be there and be, you know, be surrounded, by all the people that for her, you know, is what I can imagine, you know, just knowing her as a person, you know, that's her, you know, very outgoing, very, you know, big emotions, you know, things like that. So, that's what I, you know, hope that there's this coming together of people to see, like, this many people think that this is wrong. And, you know, so the next step can be like, hey, lawmakers, police officers, you can go and vote. This is what we need to go.
Pay attention. This is a really important deal.
Yeah.
Right. Basically, is something needs to change.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, we're going to take a quick time out and break this podcast into two sections. So part two will be coming on Thursday. Listen, I know how this conversation goes, and we didn't want to lose any of it or cut any of it, because this conversation is so important, as all the conversations that need to happen around this issue and many other issues begin to happen. So part two is coming on Thursday, and we will see you then. Thanks.